Hey, welcome back. Continuing our discussion with Rick Rule. I want to say one thing. We're going to talk a little bit more about the impact of China on gold investment. I think I had to cut Rick off a little bit in the last segment for a commercial break. Rick, you want to continue talking about what you were expounding on?
Well, simply that the Chinese people are great savers, and increasingly their government is allowing them to save in gold. And those same people are beginning to understand that some of the domestic policies in China are unsustainable in terms of the opacity of the banking system, as an example. So we expect that the Chinese citizenry will be important consumers of gold. The other thing is that a lot of countries around the world are beginning to object to the territorial overreach of the United States. That is, the United States trying to project its own beliefs and values to countries outside of the borders of the United States.
Listen, I got to tell you, I am so glad that you said that, because I believe that is, I mean, I've known Ron Paul for a long time. When Ron came out, when he was making a run for perhaps the first Libertarian president, although he was trying to run as a Republican, I think that his comment about the reach and the authority that the United States is trying to make on foreign countries is absolutely insane. I agree with that 100%. Sure.
Well, the consequence of that is that a lot of countries want to settle trade between themselves in some mechanism outside the U.S. dollar, given that none of them trust each other's currency. That is to say, the Chinese don't trust the Russians don't trust the Chinese, neither of them trust the Iranians, as an example. All of the central banks would appear to be buying gold as a way to settle transactions between them in some currency outside the U.S. dollar, but one that they have mutual trust in.
Why do you think that action has taken place, Rick?
Well, I think the fact that the United States has, in effect, taken control of the international banking system, the SWIFT system, and the United States can punish at its own will countries who believe differently than the U.S. administration does, leaves those countries practically no other choice. I can certainly understand it. Well, traditional American values, I'm not talking about current American values, but while traditional American values are the ones that make the most sense to me, I also understand that in terms of decisions made by sovereign nations, my preferences are my business, nobody else's. And they, meaning countries that feel like they've been subjected to capricious American power, it would make absolute sense for them to try and settle in some currency other than the U.S. dollar.
Well, I got to tell you, Rick, if I had a book, you'd be talking it right now. That's exactly how I feel. But we're going to stick to finance here in this particular section. We seem to have an interesting upward rise continuing in the price of gold, and moderately, I would have to say, in the price of silver. How is Sprott planning to take advantage of that, Rick, over the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years?
Well, we certainly encourage people to own physical gold because we agree with the sentiment that the U.S. dollar, at least as expressed by the U.S. 10-year Treasury, the interest rates paid on U.S. dollars don't compensate you for the loss of value in the currency. So we believe in owning gold. Traditionally, the silver price has moved later than the gold price and has moved further. So speculators should own silver, not as an insurance policy, but rather because traditionally that metal has moved further than gold, although it has moved farther and later. The true speculator, the one who cares about the equities in precious metals, needs to begin to emphasize the very high quality silver names. Silver moves further, but silver is fairly abundant. High quality silver stocks are extremely rare. My friend Doug Casey once talked about, in a bull market, the amount of money that wanted to move into silver stocks relative to the availability of those stocks as being analogous to trying to siphon Hoover Dam through a garden hose.
I think it's a really interesting point that Doug made there. regardless of that, let's talk a little bit about the equities, because the only place where I had, you know, I've never made a nickel in real estate, although I have had some security, but I have done really quite well in speculative stocks. We talked about this last week because I bet on people. I don't bet necessarily on companies because I don't have the acumen to do that effectively. In the area of silver stocks, without giving any names, what's your philosophy on that, and what's your philosophy on how your very important clients can be serviced in that area, Rick?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understand the question.
I was waiting for you to say that. What advice are you giving? Have another beer over here. What advice are your brokers giving to your clients in terms of how to take advantage of the upcoming, what you believe and I believe will be a bull market in the price of gold?
Got it. Right now, my belief is that you should stick to the best of the best gold stocks, and particularly silver stocks. In my experience, when you come into a gold bull market and later a silver bull market, the move to the upside is so incredible that you don't need to generate alpha. That is, you don't need to outperform the market. You just need to perform in line with the market. Historically, up markets have featured between 200% and 1,200% moves. Rather than trying to outperform a 1,200% move, capture the move, but capture the move with as little risk as you possibly can. So begin a gold and silver stock portfolio with very high quality stocks. After you have invested to capture the market move, then you can begin to speculate to capture alpha.
Now, I have to believe that when you say to capture only high quality stocks in that area, define a high quality stock, if you would.
Well, to begin with, I think you want to buy the companies that have the best operating margins, the best balance sheet, and the best built-in growth. Don't confuse these with investment recommendations, but I would suggest the large royalty and streaming companies as an example. The lowest cost gold and silver producers, particularly the lowest cost producers, where they have some measure of revenue growth built in. Everybody wants to own the 10-cent stock that they think is going to go to a dollar and a half. Unfortunately, statistically, most 10-cent stocks go to 5 cents instead.
Generally.
And if you think, as I think, that we are approaching a pretty good market in gold and silver, the most important thing is to capture the beta in the market, with the beta meaning perform alongside the market with as little risk as you possibly can. I'm not saying don't speculate. What I'm saying is invest before you speculate. Have, say, 75% of your money in the best gold, and in particular in the best silver equities.
You know, I think that's really good advice. That's something that I try to keep in mind during the 40 years or so that I was involved in the market. I think that's really, really good advice. It's analogous, in my opinion, to the advice of a lot of folks who are selling physical gold, and that is only put a portion of your assets, and I think the number for gold is around maybe at the very highest 20% of your assets into the physical gold itself. That's pretty much what you're saying, only you're saying put 75, if you're in the securities area, put 75% in high quality securities, and then play with the 25%. Rick, we're down to about 30 seconds here. Say anything you want to end this up.
Well, I'd like to repeat a prior offer that I would be delighted to rank portfolios from your subscribers. If your subscribers want to send me their natural resources portfolios, names and symbols in text to rankings, rankings, @sproutglobal.com, I will rank the portfolios and comment on the companies and send them back by return email. Absolutely no obligations.
And absolutely in total confidence. Rick Roll, thank you so much for your time, sir.
Remember, that's rankings, RANKINGS, @sproutglobal.com.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.